This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal. Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Stax guitarist producer Steve Cropper leading a instrumental version of the Five Royales 50s R&B song Think from a great and overlooked tribute album he did on them about 10 years ago. Steve Cropper, born on this day in 1941.
You ran into Elvis in Chicago over the weekend?
Mexican Elvis, self-proclaimed Mexican Elvis. That is not my description. We were staying. We were actually in Evanston, a place I know you've spent some time. And at Holiday Inn in Evanston, and there was a record store opening this weekend while we were there, which amused my daughter because her response was, "It's like they knew you were coming." And so I dipped down to check it out, and they were celebrating their grand opening with Mexican Elvis.
All right, it is Grizz week. Grizz open this week against Utah on the road. You've got some thoughts from preseason and a piece that I have tweeted out. One of those involves Yuki Kawamura, who was elevated to a two-way contract. I have to say, I don't think we do not have a competition at the Daily Memphian for whose tweets get the most views. But if we did, that tweet by Drew Hill, who broke the news, 2.3 million views. That dude is big in Japan.
He's big in Japan. He is not big.
No.
Literally.
Only in Japan is he big.
Right? Only in Japan is he big. He played really well in preseason in the sense of, like, his passing. I felt like he was shooting the ball well, but then you look at the numbers and he was not shooting the ball well at all. He attempted three shots inside the arc in 76 minutes and missed them all and shot like 20-something% from three. And that's not even the real problem. The real problem is that he can't defend at the NBA level because he's like 5'8", maybe. He's listed 5'8". I'm not even sure if that's right. And so he's a lot of fun. But I don't think this is not – the Grizzlies have a history of onboarding players from two-way contracts onto the main roster. I don't think that's what's going to happen with this one.
No, well, it's interesting. In your piece, you have a theory about, like, okay, well, why did they do it then? You know, why would you add him on a two-way if they don't see him as a potential NBA player?
Well, I think there's different things there. I think they like having a good point guard for the Memphis Hustle who can move the ball and sort of help aid the development of the whole team, right? Aid the developmental program. So that the your G League team has some structure to it, and it's not like AAU basketball, right? And so I think that's the reason they signed Jacob Yeoyard last year. He was not supposed to play with the Grizzlies that much. That just happened because of the injuries. That was not the plan. And so I think it's similar to that. Certainly no one with the team has suggested to me or starts to know anyone else that, like, the publicity of the Yuki Kawamura signing has anything to do with it, but I don't know for a fact that has nothing to do with it. But I also think he's fun. I think not only do the fans like him, the teammates like him. Like, John Morant was tweeting about it, right. And so, like, you know, if you think it abets, like, good G League play for your developmental team, and he's a good player to have maybe in practice for the Grizzlies, and also he's good for the vibe and the spirits of things, even on your main roster. Like, I don't, you know, it's a third two-way. Like, the stakes aren't that high.
Yeah, they brought Derrick Rose in for reasons. Their stakes are very high for the reasons they brought Derrick Rose in. But again, it wasn't contributing. There are all kinds of reasons to add someone. All right, speaking of the reasons Derrick Rose was added once upon a time, has to do with Ja Morant. We did see Ja Friday. Now we saw him a little bit through the preseason, and he leads off your thoughts of in your piece about what we observed. What did we observe from Ja this preseason?
You know, I did the season, the preview pod for Nate Duncan that I do every year, and one of the questions there was like, you know, we don't know what Ja's going to look like, you know, coming off the injury, and like, we do now, and he looks like Ja. And it's the same thing as when he came off the 25-game suspension. Like, the first time he stepped foot on the court, and this game wasn't the first time, it was the second time, because he did play the first preseason game, but, you know, he came off the 25-game suspension, and like, first game back, looked like Ja Morant, and guess what? In preseason, he looked like Ja Morant. And so, my concern, I have durability concerns with him just because I always do. It's sort of ingrained. But, like, I'm not concerned about, like, he's lost his athleticism at age 25, which is something Nate was wondering about. And I'm not concerned about anything but, like, him being on the floor. And if he's on the floor, he's going to be great.
One of the interesting questions, and we did see this Friday because he was able to play with Zach Edey, and the first play, in fact, was a dish to Zach Edey. For the dunk, how do we think they fit particularly? And then you make the observation that you don't think, even though they do fit well together, it seems like you don't think they'll lash them to Steven Adams the way they did with Steven Adams.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of new information on this front. They barely played together in the preseason. Right. But all the ideas we had of how they would fit, there's nothing to counteract that we've seen. That's certainly true. And I think, you know, we have a history of Ja Morant operating well with a true big, and Edey is going to be a better target for Ja Morant's passes than I think either Jonas Valanciunas or Steven Adams have been. I think he's going to be a more dynamic finisher of passes. And so I think that's going to work out great. They're going to have to build chemistry over time. I think the thing that's different about Taylor Jenkins, after a while, basically stopped playing Steven Adams when Ja Morant wasn't on the floor. He really handcuffed their minutes together. And Ja Morant and Steven Adams together, like, really elevated the team. But I think he was only going to play Steven Adams so much, he wanted to maximize the minutes with Ja, because that's what really worked. I think Zach Edey is different because of his ability to operate out of the post. And we saw, like, the two best games he had in preseason, Ja Morant didn't play in those games. And so I think you can run a system, you can run a team that focuses more on Edey in the post, maybe when Ja's on the bench. And so I think you may see, you know, more Zach Edey and pick and roll in the starting lineup, but then you go to bench units without Ja, maybe you get feature him in the post more. To me, that makes a lot of sense.
Zach Edey has been good, as you point out. He was terrific in two games, struggled in two others, effective but underused in one. There's another center, by the way, who's having a pretty damn good preseason. It's Khalil Ware, who played against him Friday. Have you had any? Have you found yourself at all thinking that would have been a?
Well, that's not what I thought you were going to ask. There's another one who's having a pretty good preseason. And that's Donovan Clingan.
Yes, but they couldn't get Donovan Clingan. They could have drafted Khalil Ware.
I mean, it's entirely possible. It's entirely possible Khalil Ware ends up being a better NBA player than Zach Edey. It's entirely possible Khalil Ware ends up being someone who would have been a better fit than Zach Edey. I like Khalil Ware. I liked him in the draft. And so, I think both those things are very possible. Would I place those bets now? No. So I think it's possible you look up and say, Ware would have been better? Sure. Is that the way I feel about it today? No.
With Clingan, what's he done? And it is, I guess the interesting question is, was there a price that the Grizzlies could have paid to go up and get him that they just weren't interested in paying? Or was everyone so stuck?
I don't know for a fact that the answer to that is yes, but I suspect the answer to that was yes. But it was just, it wasn't that there was no way to get Clingan. It was that the price was too high to get Clingan is what they deemed. That is my suspicion. I don't think, you know, the idea of there's a price too high to get up to, like, five or six in this draft is ridiculous. Right. Like, you know, if you want to send them three future first-round picks, like, I'm sure you could have gotten it, right? So the question was not, you know, was there no deal? The question was, what was the price of a deal? I think that's pretty clear. Clingan's been good. He's led rookies in rebounding. I think he's led rookies in blocks. He's not scoring a lot, but he's scoring pretty efficiently. I mean, he looks good. This is not a surprise. I mean, everyone liked Donovan Clingan. You know, everyone wanted Donovan Clingan. For me, as I got closer to draft day, the gap for me between Clingan and Edie really narrowed, because the more I watched Clingan, the more I started to wonder about his ability to score. And the more I watched Edie, the less doubt I had about his ability to translate. But, like, the lines never crossed. I still had Clingan just a little bit ahead of Donovan Edie. I still had Clingan just a little bit ahead of Edie myself. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to watch those guys going forward.
Right. And the Grizzlies probably did, too, honestly. Like, yeah. they just weren't willing to go up and get him. Okay. Other thoughts from the preseason? You could read Chris's piece over at the Daily Memphian. I have tweeted it out. Jalen Wells, particularly with the injuries and with his shooting, may have emerged as something of a factor?
Wells was really good in preseason. Like, really good and consistently good. Not only was he really good, A, he was consistently good, and B, he was good beyond just making jump shots. Like, I was super impressed with Jalen Wells in the preseason. Now, preseason really means so much. I pointed out that, like, a guy who had a similar preseason to Jalen Wells a year ago was doing...
Whoops. The Jalen Wells header haters cut off Chris Harrington there. We will endeavor to get him back. He is, I don't know if he's traveling back from Chicago to the Twin Cities. Chris is, of course, bouncing back and forth between Memphis and his new home in the Twin Cities. He'll be back here for the home opener. And so he'll be in Memphis a fair bit as he continues to write for the Daily Memphian. But we're trying to get Chris back here. It is interesting. I do root against guys my team's here we have Chris. Okay, Chris. More on Jalen Wells. He's been consistently He's been consistently good and doing more than hitting shots.
Yeah, and so I'm super intrigued by Jalen Wells. It's still preseason. He's still a second-round rookie. I made the point in the column that a player who had a very similar preseason, a rookie who had a very similar preseason to Jalen Wells a year ago, who was a very similar kind of player, it was Julian Strother for Denver, and then he averaged 4 points a game when the season started. So who knows what's going to happen with Jalen Wells. But I think he has, at a minimum, earned himself a real look when the season starts, especially considering Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson are going to be out, and it seems like Luke Kennard might be out too. I think Jalen Wells is probably going to play opening night on Wednesday night. And, like, who knows? Earn whatever you can get, Jalen Wells. But I think he's looked really good.
In terms of that, I'll skip ahead to where you were talking about the starters and the rotation of the bench. I think we know who the starters are. And that leaves the lead guys off the bench that as Pippen, Aldama, and Clark. If Kennard is out, that means that, what, you think two of Laravia, Conchar, and Wells will play regularly, at least?
Yeah. I mean, they could play them all. They could play like 11 guys, but they tend to play 10. Sometimes they play 9. I'm going to guess they play at least 10. And I would go with Laravia and Wells. I would give the younger guys a chance. You can always turn to Conchar. Conchar is always there for you. And so that's what I would do. I don't know what they're going to do, but that's what I would do.
Laravia, I wanted him to take a leap this preseason, and he didn't feel like he did, right?
You keep waiting for the shots to fall consistently, and they just keep not doing it. And he also, in this offense, he finds himself getting to the rim a lot with these cuts and stuff, and to me it looked like he was struggling to finish, contested shots at the rim. Now, he still, got a lot of rebounds. He got to the free throw line a lot, where he's a good free throw shooter. I think he's a guy you can play, but you're waiting for him to turn the corner as a shooter, and you're still waiting, and at some point you'll stop waiting on that.
Yeah, you pointed out that in another section that injuries have been a problem, league-wide. Honestly, more serious injuries than the Grizzlies have dealt with. And depth is a problem in a lot of places, league-wide. And yet you look at that bench, Pippen, Aldama, Brandon Clark, who honestly has been up and down this too. And then Laravia. And it's not a very inspired bench to me.
But I don't think it's horrible. I think it depends on Clark. Are you getting good Brandon Clark or not? Like, if you get good Brandon Clark, I think it's okay. I mean, it'll look better if you have, Luke Kennard, Vince Williams, and G.G.
100%, yes.
Right? But I think the Grizzlies bench is not what it was 3 years ago when they won 56 games, and that bench was awesome. It's not that. But it's going to be a lot better than it was last year. You know, I think it's going to be okay. I think you look around the league, there are teams with better depth, and there are I'm talking about contending teams, teams that want to be contenders. There are teams with better depth. There are also teams with worse depth. I think Grizzlies are sort of middle of the pack-ish in that regard, so I'm not that worked up about it.
And let's not forget Jay Huff, who you describe as possibly found money, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to find out. I don't think he's necessarily in the rotation, like, you know, regularly. But, like, I don't know, what if Brandon Clark has knee soreness, you know? I mean, you know, or whatever. Like he's going to play. I think he's going to play. And I think we're going to find out. Like, you know, I one of the things I think I wrote in the column is that he's got a career 160-something minutes played in the in real NBA games. I think he may hit that by Thanksgiving. And so I think we're going to find out with Jay Huss pretty soon.
All right, so then there's the new offense. What does the data say about the new offense in the preseason? What have we learned?
The data is small, and I think people need to remember that the data, whatever, is small. And one of the things I find myself like being a little bit pedantic about this from time to time, and I'm guilty of it myself. But sometimes when I hear people talking about stats in the present tense, I want to like hit a pause button and say statistics are past tense. Statistics don't tell you what is; they tell you what has happened. Right. And so when people say the Grizzlies do this, right, the Grizzlies have done this in 5 preseason games, which doesn't mean that's what they're going to do tomorrow. And I think it's especially true when they haven't had their real players. And by Taylor Jenkins, as he keeps telling people, like you're installing things piece by piece, right? I think, you know, if you eyeball it, there's definitely a lot more cutting. There's a lot of back cuts, which I think are kind of fun and kind of interesting. They're taking a lot of threes. They're making an okay amount of threes. They're turning the ball over a lot. They have. See, I'm doing it now. They have turned the ball over a lot. The assists, the assists are up. You know, offensive rebounds are up. Their transition scoring has not been that great. Their points in the paint has not been that great. We don't know, man. We're going to just give it some time.
What I loved was your stat about pace. That the Grizzlies' pace would have been faster than any team in the league. If their pace for this preseason was faster than any team in the league last year. Wow, you're like, damn, they are playing fast. And then you get to this. It was only 6th in the league this preseason and was slower than their pace in last year's preseason. That's incredible.
Teams run in preseason, man. They run it. They preach. Everyone preaches pace, and you get in preseason. Everyone's trying to show what they've been doing, and they play really fast. And then the game starts, and then everybody slows down a little bit. And then you get to the playoffs, everybody slows down a little bit more. This is just the way. I mean, this is rinse and repeat. This is just the way the NBA goes once you've been through it a bunch. And so we'll see. I think when you have Ja Morant on your team, you should be playing fast, and I think they're going to play fast. Hopefully, the fast is effective, and like that's key. Like fast is not inherently good. It's one of these things where pace is a neutral statistic qualitatively, but people have this idea that like being higher on something is better than being lower. So it's always like, oh, they're second in pace. I mean, who cares? Pace is just a stylistic, you know, quirk. You can be fast paced and be terrible. You can be slow paced and be great. Like it's just a matter of what works out best for you as a team.
One of the points that you've made a lot is that the Grizzlies, it's just sort of like they obviously have this blur of a point guard, but then outside of that, they are really not a particularly athletic team. And it is interesting. I like their draft picks this year. It looks like Zach Edey is going to be good and Jalen Wells. But that didn't help their athleticism really either. You know, like they're no more athletic than they were last year when they were not particularly athletic, except for you've got Ja returning.
Yeah, we'll see if Brandon Clark can get back to, you know, to a guy who's going to catch lobs in transition or whatever. But it's interesting, like the most memorable fast break they've run in preseason was Ja Morant getting off the ball and finishing the break. And so I don't like who is finishing Ja Morant's passes in the break. That's why I really wonder if we're going to see fewer layups in transition and more three-pointers in transition and whether that will be a good exchange or not. Like both those things are theoretical. It may not be true. Maybe we don't see that exchange. And maybe if we do see that exchange, it's good. So I'm not trying to prejudge it. But that is something I'm going to be sort of looking at, you know, a little bit as we get into the season, is sort of how effective they are in transition and what kinds of shots they're getting in transition. Yeah.
A couple other players we haven't mentioned yet. Desmond Bane this preseason?
Bane looks right. Bane just looks great. But the thing I wonder about is he looks fresh. And, like, what are you going to look like 40 games into the season, right? Like, Bane's always good. He's always going to be good. But right now, he's so quick with the ball and so strong, and that combination of quickness and strength is really, I mean, it really pops off the screen when you watch some of these preseason games. And he's a guy who has, you know, his own, like, you know the aches and pains of the regular season. You know, how, to what degree is that going to diminish him, you know, 82 games from now relative to what we're seeing right now? That's sort of a question I have. But Bain looks great.
Santi?
I think Santi looks good. I mean, yeah. The shots are falling. It's a 5-game sample, so who knows? I think Santi is someone who you really want to be a 40% three-point shooter, not a 33% three-point shooter. And so he's hitting over 50% in preseason. In a 5-game sample, like, you could be a 40% three-point shooter. You know, I mean, who knows? But I think the offense, the way they're trying to play, I think fits his skill set. I think this is an important season for him. It's probably a contract year. Like, I don't think he's going to get, you know, check in later today, maybe. I think there's still time. I don't think he'll get a contract extension. So it's a big season for Santi, and I think he's looked good in the preseason.
And finally, Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I don't know. Marcus Smart does not look good in the preseason. But then you look at the stats when it's all said and done, and like they're better when he's on the floor. That's sort of the way it goes with Marcus Smart. Like, I don't think he looks like he's in great shape. He's not been shooting well. He's been turning the ball over a lot. But like the thing with Marcus Smart is, like, you know, his defense and connective passing and doing the little things and his feel for the game adds up to a positive impact. That has been the story of his career. That was sort of the story with him even last season in the 20 games he played. And that's been the story in preseason. So, like, you know, we'll wait and see.
You can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. I've tweeted it out. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. As you can tell, the NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sports book, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. How about that? All you have to do is catch every tip-off and buzzer, is place any $5 bet on the NBA. I should read that again. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA. How about that? And you get free 3 months of NBA League Pass. We got the Grizzlies. They're back. Look around the league. Honestly, it is as wide open as it has ever been. The West is as wide open it has ever been. All these games will matter. You'll want to watch them on League Pass. If you're new to FanDuel, just go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Going to take a break. Come back, talk about Memphis Tiger basketball. A little drama in that program. And entertaining, I guess, intriguing, notable week in NFL football. We'll get to that too. And it what?
It was a good early slate.
It was a good early slate, and a really intriguing game last night. And we got another possibly really intriguing game tonight. So we'll talk about all that when we return. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. So, Jeffrey, this year, what I like about this year in Memphis basketball, the hype may not be as, you know, extreme. The roster may not be as star-studded. But you got a spirit of togetherness. Of there's no drama.
Mm-hmm, of course,
it's all for one, one for all. They all came in together way back in June, and that's what we're going to see this year. Is without that kind of with a commitment to each other and to the program. That's what I was telling myself last night. When all of a sudden I see on social media various people, I think I saw it from the legendary Hitmen Hoops first, that Tyreek Smith was stepping away from the program, Jeffrey, that he was leaving the program. He had informed Memphis and Penny Hardaway that he would be leaving the program. Now, since then, I turned to my authority on this stuff, Parthopadhyay, and he tweets out, Memphis Tyreek Smith did ask Penny Hardaway if he could step away from Tigers for a day for personal reasons, a program spokesperson tells me, this is Parth. But Smith has not informed Hardaway or the Tigers that he intends to leave the program permanently, the spokesperson adds. So, there we have it. He, of course, did not start in the exhibition opener, Jeffrey. And then, who knows? Could be some LINIL stuff at play. Do you remember the name? And this is from the distant past, so maybe you don't remember it. Jordan Brown?
Of course I do.
I hope he's recovered.
I do too. I hope that back is
I hope whatever it is ailed him. I hope he's recovered from
yes.
it. But
well, don't forget the illness too.
That's what I'm saying. Recovered from the illness. I'm more concerned about the illness than the back, but whichever. It's deeply troubling. And we do have, like, people have been known to just disappear.
Yes.
Rasheed Wallace?
Mm-hmm.
Larry Brown?
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Brown? And so
We can't forget Amani.
Amani?
Amani had to go rest up with the biomechanics.
No, that was, he needed the biomechanics. Whew. And we kid, of course, because we care, right, Jeffrey? Isn't that why?
Yeah, and I think sometimes laughter's the best medicine.
And sometimes laughter's the best medicine. Listen, some of this is, and here's the truth. This could very well, you can imagine, well, yeah, I'll let you all imagine whatever you want to imagine about this. We don't have any, I haven't seen any reporting that I 100% trust. Parth reported what the spokesperson said. I trust that is what they said. But then in terms of what actually is going on behind it, I like it could be an NIL issue. You could imagine, for example, that the Tyreek Smith has come in here and you could imagine this isn't getting paid what he thought he'd be getting paid. We just saw that play out in the world of college football.
Right? I also don't have to imagine this. Tyreek Smith would be at his fourth school in 5 years.
Yes. You could imagine that Tyreek Smith, you can imagine he woke up and decided he wanted more.
Or decided he wanted to play somewhere else.
That, like, he was undecided, I'm not starting. Nick Jourdain got to start over me. F you. I'm leaving. I'm taking my leave. And here's the other thing. You can look at this and say this is nothing to the extent this is a college basketball problem. Indeed, this is why Tony Bennett's just leaving the University of Virginia because they don't want to live like this, where you can just wake
after
up
signing and an extension.
Someone can just take off like this. Like, the hell with it. I don't need this chaos in my program where players could just wake up on a Tuesday because they're unhappy, or in this case on a Sunday, because they're unhappy with something and be leaving somewhere.
Yes.
Coddled players, holding everyone hostage.
No restrictions.
Portal, no restrictions. All of
season hasn't started
yet. And all of that, by the way, is to some extent true. Here's the problem. With Memphis, it happens too often. In other words, you could blame college basketball if it weren't the fact, and the state of college basketball, if it weren't for the fact that at Memphis, this happens more than anywhere else in college basketball. Like, this level of chaos. Like, for example, what did we hear Penny just say about why North Carolina beat Memphis? It's because North Carolina has a culture and a program and players who've returned and all of that. That's what Penny said. Well, we saw the difference between a new team that's been built on the fly and a team that's got a culture that's been created where people stick around for a while and whatever else. It is possible to do that. And indeed, as Tony Bennett said, you've got a choice. If you want to coach in this world, you can either coach in this world or you can leave.
Yeah.
But this is the world, and so you have to figure out how to successfully manage it. And at least up until now, Memphis has not figured out how to successfully manage it. The hope was that this would be a fresh start this year. Right people, different approach, maturity, whatever. And so the reason that it creates alarms is because we've been here before. That's why. If it were just Tyreek Smith, then you might say, what? The guy's been at four schools in 5 years. Come on, man. Like, now he's holding Memphis hostage or whatever else. That might be what I'd speculate. But because of Memphis's record on this stuff, it hurts a little bit more. It's a little more worrisome.
It's why this one to me is complicated. It's like, okay, here's a guy that is on his fourth school in 5 years. But by the way, you took him.
That is, you know what true. I mean? That's who you're recruiting.
Correct.
The same thing with Amani.
Like there is. Kind of,
wait, Amani's a head case.
Never
would have guessed.
Who could have ever foreseen there might be some issues there?
Oh now, wait, last year Quinterly doesn't necessarily give us all to the team.
Who would have ever foreseen that?
Wait,
his old coach.
Yes, his old coach was saying it literally on social media.
So that's kind of where I struggle, because there's also the reality of Tiger basketball, because of the attention that it garners and because we care, it does always, in my opinion, feel more dramatic than probably the reality is. Again,
we just had a starting defensive back from the University
Correct.
Of Memphis football program just left mid-year.
Correct.
And it didn't provoke this kind of reaction.
Right.
I'll tell you why. Because the team is winning and because it's not a trend.
Well, and they don't have the reputation of being chaotic.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. They don't have the reputation. So it doesn't feed into the reputation.
Correct.
It's not just more evidence of the reputation because they don't have the reputation to begin with.
Correct.
They have a reputation. It's a pretty well-run program.
Yes.
And so this could very well be that Tyreek Smith is a total head case and whatever else and whatnot. But, A, that's who you're recruiting. Your type of player, remember?
Yep.
That's who you're recruiting. And we have the pattern. So we'll hope they figure it out. We hope he comes to his senses. The FedEx money, I think those checks cash. FedEx checks tend to cash. And so we hope he works it out. But that was still a little disconcerting.
It's also, in fairness, this could also be a UNLV situation. Guy comes in and says, I want more.
That's what I'm saying. He could just be asking for more.
And then you also say,
you're not worth more.
Correct.
Yeah, whatever. We don't got more. Whatever else. Yeah, we don't know the particulars behind this, and they could very well be.
No, I was agreeing with you that
yes.
It could have been like it could have
any
been
number
him
of things.
Coming, yeah. Him coming in, but
yep.
Also you going. We think you're compensated pretty well.
Fairly. Anyway, still disconcerting to see because we're just trying to talk ourselves into the whole, different year kind of thing going on, and so. So we will we'll hope for.
I mean, Ken Pom only has them lose it, being an underdog in two games.
There you go. There you go.
What could go wrong?
In terms of the NFL, what was the biggest thing that happened? I think the biggest thing that happened was last night. I think it was the Steelers quarterback switch, and boy, it didn't look good early.
See,
he's getting booed.
All right, I'll let you make your case.
I think it's the Pittsburgh quarterback switch looking right now like it worked, and the New York receiver addition looking like nothing's changed.
No, it
all
was,
that wrapped up in one game is the biggest news of, I don't know, Deshaun Watson maybe going out is the biggest news that happened because that's been a soap opera for whatever, but On the field, I think Pittsburgh, New York was the most interesting
development. It was. I did at least find it humorous. Very first play of the game for the Jets. Let's throw the quick out to Devontae. Like, he was open at like 8 yards. Drop. And you're like, oh, this is how this is going to go. Well, then the thing that made it weird was then they looked pretty good.
Then they looked good. And all the narrative was, my God, if they got Garrett Wilson there and they got Devontae there and they got Breece Hall there, and like, who are you going to cover? Even the vaunted Steelers defense isn't going to be able to pick your poison. And I'm like, oh, hell, damn it, the Jets could really be good. And then you got Rodgers throwing picks. And the first one was bad.
The first one was triple coverage, tight window, and it felt like three different guys could have picked off.
Trying to force it into Garrett Wilson.
The second one was, what are you doing, Garrett?
Right. No, the second one was on Garrett Wilson. The first one was absolutely
on the other reason why I struggle with Pittsburgh and the quarterback change. The results worked.
I'm not saying it's
over. That could have been five interceptions.
I'm not saying, Mike, this is going to work and all of a sudden they're a Super Bowl contender. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the first week worked well for them.
Right.
And it started badly. Like, even the first, so he's getting booed, he's getting booed, he's getting booed, he's getting booed, he's getting booed. They're going three and out, three and out, three and out, and missing easy throws.
He had one little pass in the flat. It was like second
horribly,
down.
Horribly.
It was truly one of the worst throws I've ever seen.
And then he throws that ball up to George Pickens,
yes.
And Pickens makes an unbelievable catch on it.
Yes.
And it is true, that's the kind of deep ball he throws a little bit. So, but still, the idea that he didn't just drop it in the breadbasket, it was an incredible play by
George
Pickens.
These weren't the vintage Russell Wilson moon ball that lands right in Lockett's arms, and you're like, good God, what a throw.
I'm not proclaiming victory.
I felt like, if anything, all last night proved was like, George Pickens, you're a stud when you play.
But he gave an opportunity to be a stud that Justin Fields did not.
That is true. And
it unlocked George Pickens.
Now, the problem, though, is at least three of those could have, maybe should have been intercepted. Like, one of them is like off the helmet of a Jets DB, whatnot. Like, so there is some luck involved. Now, where I am open to the idea that this quote-unquote unlocks the Steelers is, you did see, as long as Russ is not doing the underneath, let me pick you apart from the pocket, like, spread him out, deep shots, that's where he's at his best.
And then those little rollouts to the tight end.
Yeah, a little fine. Run. But, yeah. I mean, like, he had Pickens also, like, on another one where he just missed him. Like,
I'm not saying Russ is not washed. I'm not saying that. But right now, it looked like, for week one, it looked like it worked. And for the Jets, oh, that was so fun. It's just watch them make the change. Devontae comes in. They bring it back. Hassan Reddick is coming back. It'll take him a little while, obviously, to get worked in. And they are now 2-5?
They're 2-5, and their two wins are, Jeff, you tell me if these are good wins. The Tennessee Titans.
That's not a good win.
And
by the way, that's with Will Levis. They're better with Mason Rudolph. They at least gave the Bills a half with Mason Rudolph.
I mean, wasn't it 10-0?
Yeah, it was 10-0. I turned it off.
That was 34-10.
I turned it off. Amari Cooper drops first ball thrown right to him.
Right.
Boom.
That's
flat,
smart. Get it out of the way.
Dropped.
Get it out of the way early. And then he added something that their offense doesn't have.
No, they were much better.
But then the Jets' other win is the Patriots.
Yeah, no, and the Patriots stink, Titans stink. And that's all they've done. Okay, so then the other big thing that happened in the NFL yesterday, I think Deshaun Watson out with what could be an Achilles.
It's official.
The weird thing is he's getting treatment now for his Achilles already.
Yeah.
And he's telling the nurses that the Achilles is located on the groin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No,
it's a little higher than that. Yeah.
A little higher. No, yeah. Higher Achilles.
Yeah, the high Achilles sprain. Yeah.
I shouldn't joke about this sort of stuff. It's miserable. And so, you get to the fact that Cleveland fans cheered.
Mm-hmm.
And is it tasteless? Should you, just as a matter of principle, not cheer an injury? I think we should say yes. As a matter of principle, you should not cheer an injury. But this is something you and I talked about off the air. They weren't cheering and popped Achilles. They were cheering FU organization kept forcing us this guy on him. Thank God. If you wouldn't end it, at least this ended it. And they were
we spend money on
they
this.
They were really booing Haslam,
yes.
Is what they were doing,
it's
as much
same
as
thing
they were
with Chandler Parsons when we talked about
it. It's 100%
it's the
same
symbol,
thing.
It's
at least which and some there's some to some extent it was also personal, and that they also thought, you know what, if I'm going to share an injury, a guy who is a multiple-time sexual harasser is probably a guy who
I did like Myles Garrett's defense. Most of the time, he's been a good pro.
Right.
Like, there's... I think that's... Jeff, there are like 3 billion women on the planet that he's not sexually abused.
Right. I don't blame Cleveland fans for cheering that.
Me either. I'm not saying I would do it.
They were like, we're done with this situation. We want to have a team that we can cheer for.
Correct.
Let's just move on. Burn it down.
Please let this be over. Please end this.
Now, one thing I never did understand is over the last few weeks when people are like, how are the Browns going to get out of this situation? They've got 2 years left. If they trade him, maybe if they give 2 first-round picks, they can get the Panthers to take his salary, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I didn't understand why the answer wasn't simply go tell him to sit in the corner. Right.
And it seems to be because the Haslams will not allow it. We're paying.
Well, now he's going to be sitting in the corner.
Correct.
And that's good.
But the thing that didn't make sense to me is why was Jameis the third quarterback? I'm not saying Jameis is a
DTR is the guy they want,
but he's better than DTR.
The argument would be DTR is 24 and they need to see what they have in him by the end of this year to know whether they need a quarterback. And that's poppycock. They know what they have in him. They know he stinks.
Yes. But they don't want to win games. I actually thought something else was big yesterday.
What did you think was big? Brock Purdy's miserable performance?
No. Well, that's not even that one. The thing that's upsetting about the Chiefs right now is I don't even think they're playing well. Now, that also ignores one side of the ball. They're awesome.
They're awesome defensively.
And we should not ignore
them. And by the way, their offensive line, like Creed Humphrey's impenetrable.
Yes.
Like they get all this credit for the glitz and glamour of Mahomes and Kelce, but they are solid defensively, offensively.
They're big people on both sides of the ball.
Really good.
Agreed. Their offense is actually, if you go down to down, their offense is really good. And Belichick even pointed this out on the Manning cast last week. Their problem is the turnovers. The turnovers is what makes them look clunky. But if you look at success rate, they're like a top 2 or 3 offense in the entire league. But what's depressing is you watch them and you go, man, they look vulnerable. And here they are 6-0.
Yeah.
But what I actually thought was the bigger story yesterday is I think the Lions have a claim to being the best team in the NFC. And I think yesterday kind of like you fall behind double digits twice and you don't really panic. And they just kind of calmly, you can't do anything with them when they're on offense and clicking. Goff nearly goes perfect again for the second time in 3 weeks. Like, I just think we finally, I've been wondering, like, who is the best team in the NFC? And I think the
Lions. Well, they're the best team. The question was, is the loss of Hutch, they're clearly the best team in the NFC, but is the loss of Hutch devastating to them?
And what I thought was important yesterday, even though they give up the lead, they kind of gave up the lead on a defensive score, but they had to get a stop. You know, they have the 4th and 25 where, like, Goff gets sacked, and they're lucky that it wasn't a fumble, but he gets sacked. They keep the ball. They punt it away. You have to get a stop, and I was so worried, like, oh, they're just not going to get the ball back. They got the stop, like, immediately and get the ball back. They control the game, take it down.
That's two. There are two games yesterday, Detroit and Vikings and Green Bay and Houston.
Yes.
They felt like SEC games among elite teams that you can survive. Like,
yes,
even the loser,
Vikings are not done. I don't think the Vikings are a bad team.
And the Texans aren't done.
Right.
Right.
I think if anything, it proved the Vikings are good. Like, this isn't like a fraudulent look at, oh, who they beat. Like, no, they're good.
How did you take Saquon coming back and running for 176 yards against your beloved Giants?
I wanted to look. I believe Daniel got sacked. I think Daniel played like 7 drives, and I think he got sacked 8 times.
No, they had 8 sacks between them, I think.
So
one
Daniel
was Drew,
got sacked 7 times.
And Drew Lock was sacked once.
And the Giants had, let's see.
It's funny because they've invested lots of first-round picks in that offensive line.
Yeah, the Giants, well, left tackle's out. The entire right side of the offensive line was just getting absolutely
caved.
Hey, Bryce Huff showed up. Good for him.
Good for Bryce.
I mean, yes. It wasn't fun, but I didn't have high expectations coming in.
Sometimes you can get so bitter as a fan that you can root against your, like, you can want him to be inflicting pain on your team. You could be rooting for Saquon Barkley.
See, I'm in the weird spot, though. I think Dable's a good coach, and I think it's hard to get a good coach. And so it's going to come down to, is it going to be Shane and Dable, or is it going to be Shane? Is it going to be Dable? I think Dable's a good coach, and I think that's harder to find. So I'm in that weird spot of I don't want them to lose too much.
I have reached, by the way. This is a separate question. I'm always curious if you hate your team.
Yeah.
How I've never believed it's been possible to switch allegiances. If you really love a team,
yeah, yeah.
You can't become a fan of another team, right?
Yeah. Unless you're truly a front runner.
You can't. Either with my Buffalo Sabres, who are bad again mm-hmm. this year for the 15th straight year.
Yeah.
And they've had high picks and they've picked some trade. Like they're reaching sort of California Angels level of just disaster. I have declared them dead to me in the way that I've unfollowed them everywhere. I don't know what is happening.
Out of sight, out of mind.
And with an NHL team, you can do like with yes. I couldn't.
You wish, can't avoid the
I
NFL.
I can't avoid the Bills. I can't say right. if they weren't good. I can't say they're dead to me.
Right.
I can try not to care.
Right.
But if you like,
but you can move on.
John can't avoid knowing what the Raiders right. did. I actually, and I'm going to check back like December 1.
I think you're in the same spot, right? Commanders fans were like until they sell the team.
But you can't avoid. You can't avoid. But you couldn't avoid it with a Commanders fan. With an NHL team in living in Memphis, you can. They can be. I can That's learn nothing. Point. It's really been a genius thing to help my mentals, as they say. Tonight we got, well, the Bucks and Ravens could be interesting. Do you give Baker much of a chance in this one?
I mean, he's pretty good as an underdog. The only thing that scares me is the Bucks are really bad at stopping the run. That is a bad formula to play the Rams, to play the Ravens.
All right, NBA is back. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving all users, how about this, 3 months of NBA League Pass free. Catch every tip-off, buzzer beater. All you got to do is place a $5 bet on the NBA. That's right, a $5 bet on the NBA, and you get 3 months of NBA League Pass free. If you're new to FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, as to get the 3 months of NBA League Pass. How about that? Don't miss the opening of this NBA season. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. What's coming up next?
Jeff's going to join Jason and John at 1:25. Jason Munns will join us on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Hitman Hoops will join Gabe at 4:30.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.